This is the lawn in winter. Thought for today, Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, bringing you the lawn in winter. Now, how many times have you thought about the lawn in winter? Probably only when the snow melted and you could see the lawn, or when the leaves were raked off of the lawn and so you could see it. But how often do you think about the lawn in winter? The lawn in winter is a very special thing. It's always there. Sometimes it's brown, sometimes it's light colored, sometimes it's green. Here in Southern California, in the high mountains, the nights are cold and the days are dry, and so our lawn is not necessarily all that spry. But it is very pretty in any event. There are little ribbons of green running through the lawn where the sprinkler system is underneath and the pipes are leaking and where other things are going on. It's amazing when you look at the lawn in wintertime. The lawn in the wintertime tells you all sorts of stories. It tells you what's going on beneath the ground. As I say, with the leaking water pipes under the ground for the sprinkler system. It tells you about the animals who burrow under the ground. And they burrow under the ground in the most unusual places. We have a fountain here, and they love to burrow up underneath the lighting fixtures and bring the dirt down into the pond. It's really amazing how they're so creative. And I walk along my meditation path, and in the middle of the night, I feel soft dirt under my feet. So in the day, when I'm walking the path again, I see that this is the home of some animal who has made another entrance right in the middle of the path. And so I walked along touching the path. But the grass in the wintertime gives you such a great story of what's going on with the earth, what's going on with the fertilization that has been done to the soil, what's been going on with the sprinkler systems, what's been going on with a great many things. The type of grass, the animals who live down below and who are digging their tunnels here and there. It tells you so many things. And you think to yourself, oh, darn, oh, heck, oh, what a mess. You know, why do we bother? Let's just leave it go natural, you know. Well, of course, that would be a very wise thing to do. In the high desert, to leave things be natural is probably the most wonderful way to have it, because you look out upon the nature of the countryside and you say, how lovely. And then you look at your educated yard with your educated plants and your educated lawn and your educated sprinkler system and your educated this and that, and you think, well, I could go down into the city and see this in every home that's down there. I can go to the parks and I can see this enunciated there. I don't know why I'm doing it here in the mountain when I could have just natural things and have nature do its perfect job. But this is what we do with our life oftentimes. Instead of listening within and finding what is the sound of music of our heart, we listen outwardly. Now, Ellen went to a very beautiful concert as a youngster in London, and in the concert she heard the Ninth, wasn't it? And as she heard the Ninth Symphony, it was a very melodic and very deeply touching melody. And then, as soon as that was over, she knew what was on the program because she had a copy of the program ahead of time. But she hadn't heard this music very well beforehand. So following it was who?
Stravinsky,
who was a very wild and unkempt being, whose music was just full of life and vitality and many notes that caused you to sit up and take listen. And after the Ninth, hearing that, it was enough to wake Ellen up. And Ellen says, I don't want that. I want to remain in the love of the beautiful Ninth being played for me. And so she left the theater. She left the theater not realizing that she now is learning about the water pipes beneath the ground. She is learning about the grass in the wintertime and about the critters who crawl under the ground. She's learning about all of these things and judging them. As we hear the sort of raucous, inharmonious music of other composers, not that Stravinsky was inharmonious, but he was certainly raucous. As we hear this music, we should not judge, because all we have to do is equate that music to the things that we know all about us, to the things that are going on in our world, and then not judge that. When you look at the lawn in the wintertime and you see that it is just surviving, do you feel you have to get out and put fertilizer on it? If you feel you have to get out and put fertilizer on it, that's okay, you can do that. But then you have to have water on it so the fertilizer doesn't burn up the lawn. And then you have to do a lot of other things, and then you're going to have to do it in a week later, because the leaching of the soil in the wintertime saps out all of the fertilizer and things that you put in there, and makes it less brilliant and less beautiful. Now, we do that with our bodies and our lives too. We hear discordant words in our world, and we sometimes let these discordant words guide us and judge us. And instead of our being the ones who guide and judge us, we let them. Now, Jesus went to a party, or at least reported about a party. He's a good reporter. And at this party, the man was called a king because he had a large estate, and they were kings who had large estates in those days, even though they had no more control except over their estate. And so the wealthy landowner or king invited his friends and neighbors and so forth to come to his daughter's wedding. And none came. They were all too busy with other things. And so the king went out into the byways and highways and invited every tramp and every trollop and every person who could possibly come to come. But there was one stipulation. Everyone who came to the king's feast had to be dressed in their finest. Now, you imagine what these tramps and trollops had as their finest. What did they have? Did they have beautiful ermine-quilted coats and so forth? Did they have lovely gowns? Did they have beautiful tuxedos and various other things that they might have had? No, certainly not. But you see, it does not say anything about the king judging them. As long as they wore what they considered was their finest, that was fine with the king. But if they felt they could come in their unkempt clothing, and it was just their unkempt clothing, it was not their finest, the king read their mind. And he said, "You have not come in your finest clothing. You have not come to respect my daughter in her marriage. You have come only to eat and run, and that is not acceptable." And so the king had those people thrown out. Now, how did the king know that these people, because there were others who were far dirtier than these people that he had thrown out, how did he know that these people did not put on their finest clothing? Because we go through life and we have it written all over our face. When we do not respect ourselves, when we do not honor ourselves, the lawn in winter, it respects itself perfectly fine and says, "Let me alone. I am in hibernation. I am in sleep mode. I'll come around again in spring. But let me alone. Don't try to make me work during the winter time. This is my time of rest. This is my time of sleep. If you make me work, you're going to have to keep on making me work. Because as soon as I use up the fertilizer that you have given me, then I'm going to need more fertilizer in the early spring, and in the late spring, and in the summer, and in the fall. But if you train me, or let me be, so that I can be who I am, then I will get strong on my own, and I will be a very fine lawn for your home. But if you keep mollycoddling me and you keep giving me all these little perks that help me along, you're going to have to keep on doing that. Bless me and let me be. Don't judge me by saying I'm not green enough or I'm not tall enough or I'm not wet enough. But just let me be, and I will survive very well. Our lives are like the lawn in the wintertime. Our lives are like walking that wonderful garden path. Our lives are judgment. Not judgment as far as right or wrong. But when is it the right time to eat certain foods? When is it the right time to drink certain fluids? When is it the right time to exercise? When is it the right time to have the right thoughts in our mind? And now is the right time for the right thoughts, of course. Now is always the right time. But as far as the food, the science tells us if we could put ourselves on a starvation diet, we'd live another 30 years. 30 years, can you imagine that? Science tells us if we could clean up our lymph fluid. Clean up your lymph fluid? How do you even know where to find it? Well, you clean up your lymph fluid with your mind. Your lymph fluid is being dirtied up by you by saying, I am now 20 years old, 30 years old, 40 years old, 50 years old, 80 years old, 100 years old. Don't do that. Say to your mind what your vitality is. I am 25 years old, I'm 30 years old, I'm whatever pleases you. Then live like that. And just watch. Just watch. Your lymph fluid will program this into your being and will telepath this to all areas of your being. And all areas of your being will act like it. You will act like a 30-year-old. You will act like a 25-year-old. You will express like this. You will run like this. You'll play like this. You'll be like this. And, of course, your body will be that too. But it's up to you. It's up to you. How are you going to treat your lawn? Are you going to force feed your lawn and have it be green all the time? Or are you going to take care of it and let it go through its seasons and not worry about it? Say it's always perfect, and so it is. Are you going to be an iris, or are you going to be a rose? A rose is hardy, but come winter time, an iris grows around the clock. And nothing stops an iris. It sends out little tubulars to plant more of them and plant more of them. Pretty soon, the whole field is alive with iris. Iris stand up and grow beautiful and do beautiful things because, when allowed to, that's their nature. And now, are you a rose or an iris? Are you going to worry about the iris? Are you going to worry about the roses? You know what they do to roses? They shake the dirt off and let them dry. And then comes spring, then they plant the rose. It's called dry root planting. And when Brian, our handyman, bought some pine trees for us, he brought these pine trees from the nursery. And when he brought them here, he shook the dirt off of their roots. And I thought, what in the world are you doing that for? The dirt is all nicely formed. Just put it in the ground, add some more to it, and it'll keep growing. But instead, he shook the dirt off, and he planted all sorts of mulch underneath it. And then he put fertilizer in there. And then he put the roots down in there so that they would grow beautiful and sound with a brand new direction. Not a holding direction like they had in the nursery, but a growing direction that he wanted them to have here. Now he didn't tell anybody about that. I saw him shaking the branch, the roots off, and I thought, Brian, what are you doing there? No, I'm just taking the dirt off. I didn't ask him further because he knew what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are you ready to know what you're doing? Are you ready to be the master of yourself? Are you ready to have the lawn of winter and the lawn of summer and the lawn of spring and the lawn of fall and understand that they will have their season? They don't have to be old or young. We want them to be vital, dynamic, forceful, and beautiful at all times. This is my thought for today for each of us. So let's enjoy and let's have a wonderful day because we are wonderful.